You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A new type of school has opened this year in South Auckland. The Deep Green Bush School, run by Joey Moncars and Oksana Siminoff, aims to rewild its students, leaving behind any mention of gadgets, classrooms, homework, and testing. Today I spoke to co-founder Joey Moncars, asking him what the school was all about.
The Deep Green Bush School is a democratic nature immersion school. It's run privately for ages 5 to 18, and we've been running for two terms, so just since the start of this year.
And what is the curriculum?
The curriculum is it has a big coverage area. It's not just, you know, we do have the basics like reading, writing, math, but there's a whole lot more. And really, what it comes down to is how can we live on the planet with wisdom and responsibility? Because so our curriculum is based on the reality that 50,000 species are going extinct every year, or that amounts to between 100 and 200 a day, and the fact that every ecological community is in a state of collapse. So things aren't going well. So we're not living in harmony with the planet or with each other. So our curriculum is aimed at how we can actually live in a healthy way, and it's based on how humans evolved over 2 million years to live and to learn. Our approach is really based on a way of raising and educating kids that is appropriate to our species.
On your website, you mentioned that rewilding is part of the program. Could you explain what that means?
Yes, so rewilding is, in the way we're using it, because people use it in different ways, means to recognize that humans evolved to live in a certain way, and by ignoring the way we evolved, then we end up with a lot of problems. We end up with diseases and mental illness. And in fact, New Zealand's chief science advisor to the Prime Minister, Sir Peter Gluckman, he's written a book called Mismatch, in which it's exactly about this, how there's a mismatch between the way we evolved to live and the way we're living, and this causes a lot of health problems. So rewilding is about remembering and reminding ourselves what is appropriate for humans and what has been, over 2 million years, the most sustainable way of living. And it's about learning from that. So, you know, what we're looking at is basically 2 million years as hunters and gatherers. And then everyone always says, well, you know, we're not hunters and gatherers anymore and we're not going to go back to it. Which may be true, but there's a lot to learn from the way we evolved to live in a healthier way. You know, for example, most mothers would admit that it's healthier to breastfeed their child than it is to feed them Nestle's infant formula. You know, I mean, but there's usually no argument about that unless you work for Nestle. The same thing goes for the way we raise and educate our kids. So the way humans evolved to raise and educate their kids, and the way they've been doing it for 2 million years, is to give kids complete freedom in the natural world. And through the freedom, kids and young people would observe the adults around them and imitate them, and they learned everything they needed to know. So schools, by forcing kids into completely unnatural environments where they have absolutely no freedom, is unnatural, and it contradicts the way we evolved to learn, which is why we end up with a lot of problems like so-called ADHD or dyslexia. All these things come down to an unnatural learning environment.
In regards to the 2 million years figure, I just want to ask you about that. Considering the scientific community, the general consensus is that Homo sapiens diverged about 200,000 years ago. I just want to understand where you get the 2 million years from.
So 2 million years is referring to not just Homo sapiens sapiens, which is, I'm not sure about the science consent. I mean, there's some divergence, but as far as the intelligence of the hominid line, it goes back 2 million years, and I think there's a lot of assumptions that when we go back that far, we're talking about dumb hairy cavemen, which is an assumption made, well, it originally started with Thomas Hobbes about 400 years ago, who said that our lives were nasty, brutish, and short. Of course, that was completely made up. If you read among anthropologists, for example, like Richard Lee and Urban DeVore, they've called the hunting and gathering way of life the most sustainable way of living that humans have ever achieved. And so I'm not just talking about Homo sapiens sapiens, which is a bit of a arrogant name for ourselves, but really we're not a whole lot different than we were 500,000 years ago or a million years ago. And that's what it comes down to.
Many people will wonder, do you offer NCA or can students gain an NCA qualification?
We don't push NCA on anyone. If a student wants to do it, they can do it through correspondence and we can help them attain that. At the same time, we make sure that they know that when you're 20 years old, right, you're automatically accepted to university. So is it worth all that effort to go now when you're 18, or can you wait another 2 years, which usually gives people time to think, look out at the world, and not rush into university, which is, rushing into debt, which you'll probably have for the rest of your life.
Some might say that these children won't be prepared for university or the labor market. What do you say to that?
that's a good one, because in fact, there is no school which can say it's preparing kids for the labor market, because, it's estimated now that at least a half of all current jobs will be automated in the next couple of decades. And then on top of that, more and more jobs are being sent overseas to third world countries. And then, and in fact, the fastest growing occupations are jobs which you don't need a university degree for. And then at the same time, you've got this thing called degree inflation or academic inflation, which is that so many people have degrees that it doesn't set you apart anymore. It used to be a mark of distinction. But now, since so many people have them, it doesn't matter, and now there are companies that simply don't require degrees. And of course, more and more university graduates are working in fields which don't require a university degree. They work in fields for which they didn't study as well, because, again, jobs are disappearing, and most of them, more and more of them, are kind of on the, they don't require degrees. And ultimately, a degree is not, unless it's a technical job, you're not actually learning certain skills. You're really just proving your dedication to the system. Most workers learn the skills for a job on the job.
So how has public reception been since you started the school?
We've had a lot of positive feedback and support. The families that are involved absolutely love it, because they see the effect it has on their kids. And of course, there are many people who don't understand it, many people who feel threatened by it, because it threatens some basic assumptions, which of course people never question, and that is that school is good for us, or that we need to be forcing our kids to do these things, sitting in classrooms day after day. And so we're challenging that assumption, which, for a lot of people would be scary.
So I just want to clarify, will the children graduate with reading, writing, and some mathematics skills?
Yeah, absolutely, because it's, again, this is, parents make, well, we're led to believe that children will not learn anything unless they're forced, but actually it's genetically within us, we are genetically predisposed to learn what is culturally important. So if children are surrounded by adults who are reading and writing and doing math, then they will see that that is important, and they will take an interest in it, and they will want to learn it. The important thing is that you wait for them to learn it when they're ready. So not every child is ready to learn when they're 5 years old. Some need to be, some aren't ready until they're 12 or 13 years old. The point is, you wait for them to be ready, and when they are, they'll learn whatever they're interested in quite quickly. But to rush them into certain abstract concepts like language and writing and math before they're ready ends up causing a lot of damage. So it's not a question that these students will learn reading, writing, and math, because it's important. You can't go through life without these skills. Of course, I'm a writer, so I know it's important, and the kids see me doing it. They see me reading constantly, so it's surrounding them in a school culture which shows them what is important. It's only from the assumption that children will learn nothing unless we force them to, that kind of question, it's a normal question, and it comes from the idea that you need school. But again, give children the time, and they will take an interest in what is culturally important.
How might a Deep Green Bush School graduate in general differ from a traditional schooling graduate?
The Deep Green Bush School graduate will have a deep understanding of the world around them, and they will be fully aware of the state of the world, and they will not be content to grow up and be part of the industrial machine that is destroying life on the planet, and so they will want to do something about it, and they will know what will be necessary, and they will have the courage to do it. And along with that, they will also have their natural creativity intact. They'll have self-motivation because they haven't been, going through years of being told what to do. They'll be resilient, and they'll have, most important of all, they will be socially developed. They will have emotional intelligence, which when it comes down to it, is what employers all want. They want people with emotional intelligence. And the fact is that because of our reliance on technology and the school system, fewer and fewer graduates have emotional intelligence.
And how many students are there currently enrolled?
We have 8 students right now, ranging from 4 to 14.
And have many other families shown an interest in joining?
Yes, we regularly have interest and accept applications, and then we talk to families to make sure that they can fully support us and they know what they're getting into, because this kind of education depends on a lot of trust from the parents. And then especially, in the last few weeks, we've had more and more interest, so we'll be growing. We're not going to end up like a normal school with several hundred to 1,000 students. We're going to remain quite small. The feeling right now in the school is like a family, and that's how we're going to keep it.
Some might think this is similar to a Steiner school. Is it?
No, there's no similarity at all, because in a Steiner school, at least for the older ones, they are sat down in classes and have to do the work. And ultimately, it's also the result that we want. So my impression is that Steiner is a slightly alternative method, but with the same result, and that is students will go and fit in nicely to the industrial machine, whereas we are not just an alternative approach, but we are aiming for students with different values who will not place importance on continuing this industrial machine, but will want to challenge it. I will know what a healthy way of life should look like.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.